In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Advanced communication skills.
Body language. Body movements. One, facial expression.
Now, is that basic now? Or this advanced? We are moving now to something. Okay, some of you are expert in using their facial expressions. Just stand before the mirror and try to use your facial muscles in different expressions. You're like actors, but close the door, nobody will see you. Say, because sometimes our brothers and sisters, they tell me, "You're so serious." And I'm not serious. Look to my face. I will go to look to my face. Especially if you're angry. Just imagine yourself why you're angry, that you're looking into a mirror. When you are angry, imagine a video camera with a team, TV, are coming to videotape your anger. And you will be on the TV. Just imagine that. Or actually, you could record yourself in these anger spells and then see it later. We do it with our children when they throw tantrums. Sometimes we videotape it. And then they will see it. You see themselves when they are throwing tantrums as a method for them to control their tantrums by themselves. So, some are described that, okay, don't give me a face. What then? Don't give me a face, which means you are always plays with your face. Give me negative expressions. I feel so rejected. I feel so humiliated. I feel so and so, all these negative feelings, just by looking at you. So some of us are so expert. You tell me something, I'm not going to answer you. But I will show you I'm ignoring you. You don't deserve even for me to care about you. But my face. I could die. Talk. I could say, what this means. I'm underestimating what you have said. So I didn't say anything. But my face is showing the care, the love, the attention, the smile. One of the best is to wear a smile. Most of the time. They teach it for salesmen. You have to wear a smile. Even if there's something painful inside you, and you're going to sell something to a customer, wear a smile. Just the lips are a bit away, some of your teeth is showing. Your forehead is relaxed. Something else, as an exercise, get a recorder and record your voice saying whatever you want to say while you are grimacing. And say it. And then smile and say it. Try that in your answering machine. Your answering machine. Everybody will listen to your announcement. I will know your attitude and your feeling by listening to your announcement. Someone in a hurry. Please leave me a message. As if, don't leave a message. Don't waste my time. I have no time for you. But if someone is smiling while he is leaving a very short announcement, it will show acceptance for the one who is listening to the announcement. Not everybody is soliciting. Not everybody is telemarketing. Not everybody is selling something by phone. maybe your friends, your relatives, somebody is hurting, wants to talk to you. If you have an accepting, smiling announcement, compare that to the computerized ones. No, I mean, it's not personalized at all. If, please leave a message. What is that? You don't have a voice? I want to hear your voice. Especially if you are smiling. So if, put that in the recording and listen to yourself. See the difference. How much a smile could make a difference. On the message, on the meaning of the same words said while you are grimacing, while you are smiling. Yes, go ahead, Anita.
Second, gestures, arms and hands.
What was the first one?
Facial expression.
All of them we're discussing now. Now, gestures means in the body, arms and legs. See, just imagine I'm doing that. You are talking to me, and then I'll put like that and turn to the other side. Or I will do that. See, I will cross my arms, cross my legs, and turn to the other side. Is that an accepting attitude? No. This is ignoring attitude. I don't mind what you are going to say. So the body language, yes.
Posture and breathing.
Posture, the position. Breathing, what's the value of breathing? When you are talking, they say, please. I'm not going now to say something, but I say, or while you are talking to me, what it means. So you are talking to me then, please end it. I'm not interested. So by breathing, I could show you my interest or not. And by my posture, leaning a bit forward, leaning back, while you're talking to me, it makes a big difference. Yes.
Spatial relationships.
I said that before, but you hear it now. Yes.
One, intimate distance between 0 and 18 inches.
Now, what's the distance between him and me now? It's less than a foot. His knee is touching my knee. This is intimate. Between close friends or between spouses. You could put your spouse in your lap, your child in your lap, على رجلك, على حجرك, كود ابنك, whatever. This is intimate space. Then you get more after that, yes.
Personal distance between 1.5 feet and 4 feet.
Now, well, we're not that intimate. We're getting away. Now, in a family room, visitors coming in your living room, a table in the middle. By the way, an intimate or friends, don't put an obstacle between you and your friend or your intimate one. Bodies close. But how close, it depends on the level of intimacy and closeness. But now, in the living room, you have a table in the middle. And how much the distance in the social gathering will be?
Social distance between 4 and 12 feet.
4 to 12 feet. You know the system? You know the feet and the, or you want the meters? You understand feet? Okay. Yes.
4. Public distance between 12 and 20 feet.
It was between me now and the first row, how much it is? How much between now, my seat, and the first pew? Good. Thank you. Any perfection, other than perfections, to tell me exactly how much it is? So, usually, if someone is in public speaking, it's 12, the first row, 12 to 20 feet. It could be a whole lecture hall between the podium and the first row, different than podium and the end of the hall. But the distance between me and the audience decides degree of intimacy. She is not my wife, just a student, a girl, a young man. Then the difference is 12 feet and up in public speaking. So if you are sitting with your spouse, look for the distance. It is important to decide what kind of intimate communication are going to go through. If you are love seat and your hand is around him or her, or holding hands and talking, different than between you and the other one, there's a table across. Sometimes you have in big houses a huge dining table, one at one corner and the other after 6 meters maybe the other side. There's no any kind of intimacy. Maybe his lordship is the other side and poor me will be on this side. But his lordship, if he wants to be close, he will come and take the seat close to me. And even if the dining table is 6 meters, it will be close to me. I like to be seated close to Jesus. I love that. Saint John, the evangelist, he was the closest to Jesus. Even sometimes he puts his head on his chest. He's so close and intimate. Yes.
Paralanguage and meta messages.
This is now, we are getting into some technical now. But you say, find it easy, if you understand it, about the advanced skills, how to train your voice, your tone of voice, the way you use your pitch. You know that now. It has an effect. Yes.
Elements of paralanguage. One, pitch, high, low. Two.
You know, of course, high and low. It's easy for you. Scream. Yes.
Resonance. Heavy vocal cords. Deep, full voice.
You know.
Thin vocal cords. Thin.
I don't know how to make it.
Thin, high voice.
Scream. Was that thin? Different than. Does it make a difference? Oh, if I want to sit here in your heart, I will speak to you in very harsh. And my face will be congruent when I'm looking to you with my voice. And I didn't say anything. Just, I'm showing you how thick is my vocal cords, how thick is my heart. Yes.
Articulation, slurred to clear, decisive pronunciation.
Say, if I say, Jesus love you, could I say it? Jesus love you. I don't respect anybody reads the Bible to the whole congregation with the slurred pronunciation. Go and listen to any evangelist on the TV. He will read the Bible word by word, stressing every word. And when you say a statement, every word counts. But every word counts. And it's not good to get someone just to give them a chance to read the Bible. No, the Bible is so holy, the Word of God. A child 12 years old is welcome to be trained in his home with one of the small liturgies. But on Sunday, I get someone to read the Bible and he is reading not in a holy way, which means word by word, honoring the Word of God. So everybody will be in awe. Not, okay, maybe he doesn't understand what he's reading, or he doesn't care about his reading, but the Bible. I could read something and you feel I am in what I am saying. And others you feel just want to finish. So this is the meaning of what is said here. Yes.
Tempo. Fast. Slow.
Understandable. Yes. Go ahead.
Volume. Loud. Soft. Mm-hmm. Rhythm.
You use a soft voice?
Of course, yes.
Nobody said here yes. Soft, soft voice. They are nice, but sometimes you don't hear them very well because they are so soft and low. A feminine, soft and low. Sometimes is showing some passivity, some assertiveness. You raise a bit your voice. You not change your softness, but just raise a bit your voice. So it will be, and stress the words. Because softness with low, as well as you could talk fast, you don't impress the words, you not carry the proper message. My wife has a very soft voice. I love her voice, Tabania. But sometimes I tell her, please, would you please raise your voice? Yes.
Rhythm, emphasis.
You emphasize. Say, I will say A. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? I'm sure you love Jesus. I'm emphasizing the fact. So by repeating it, or focusing on one word, Abuna, use that. I heard them so many times in the absolution, in the last blessing, he will repeat certain sentence once or twice. You know, Abuna Sotim does that. To emphasize the meaning of especially that we sinned. Oh yeah, we sinned, you know. Which means tell everybody. So emphasizing the meaning or love of Jesus, we express it twice, emphasize it, say it again. Yes.
Meta messages communicates the attitudes and feelings of the speaker. One, rhythm. Emphasis on a word to make a meta message. 2, pitch. 3, verbal modifiers like certainly, only, merrily, sure, just, etc.
If you use such words, yes, it will add certainly, I want that. Surely, I would love you to do that. Okay.
Coping with meta messages. 1. Repeat the message over in your mind, listening to rhythm and pitch, noticing any verbal modifiers. 2. Say what you think the meta message is out loud, and ask if that is what the person really thinks or feels.
To be sure that you are giving the appropriate message you want to give. Yes.
Transactional analysis.
This is something totally different. Another skill. This is one of the psychotherapeutic techniques used by someone who's trained on that. But just giving you an idea. during communication, we could communicate by the child part in us, by the parent part in us, or by the adult part. There are certain characters if the child in me will speak or behave or feel. Or the parent part in me, which I took from my parents, by my parents' wisdom, if they were punitive, punishing, I will carry this style of punishing my children or punishing you in my communication. If they were supportive, I will carry with me, with the parent part, support to everybody. And the adult part, as we're going to read now, is the responsible one.
Parent, child, and adult messages. 1. Parent, punitive or supportive. 2. Child, irresponsible, curious, crying, complaining, victim.
If an adult, in front of adult age, is crying and whining like a child, this is the child part in her or in him, talking.
Adult, responsible, independent, decision maker, mature, direct, aware. Keeping your communications clean. 1. Know the ego state from which you are communicating. 2. Know the ego state to
which means child, adult, or parent. Yes.
2. Know the ego state to which you are sending your message. 3. Be sensitive to the child in others. Protect that child. And recognize the not okay burden that it must carry.
Imagine I'm talking to someone and I am observing that he is speaking to me by the child or childish way, the child part in him. And then I will rebuke him. I'm now getting my parent punitive to attack the child part. I have support this child part so it will grow to be an adult way of understanding. If I see someone needs to be dealt with as a child, I don't criticize and project on him my parent part, my punitive parent part. I'm going to lose him in the communication. But deal with the child part in a supportive, in a parent supportive way, no punitive way. Yes.
4. Protect your own child. Keep it safely tucked away when others are angry or attacking. 5. Do not use the punitive parent to communicate. No one wants to hear it, and people are likely to react by trying to hook your child with not okay attacks. When appropriate, use your supportive parent or rely on your adult. 6. Solve problems and conflicts with your adult only. Listen to your parent and to your child, but communicate using your adult when resolving issues. 7. Give your adult time to process data. It's important to sort out what really needs to be said from the impulsive statements your parent and child may demand that you make.
It's an exercise for everyone. You could sit and analyze. My child part sometimes expresses himself in a way of thinking, in a way of feeling, in a way of expressing, in a behavior. My parent part sometimes expresses himself in the same way, a thought, ideas, feeling, expression, or behavior. And the adult part and work on the child part between you and yourself, and sometimes guided by someone, and work on the negative, if any, negative parent part in you. Encourage the positive parent part, and encourage, if any, if there's any, positive in the child part. Usually not. But always the one which will decide and deal with the others better to be which one of the three? Which one of the three better to deal with others? The adult part. So, protect the child part from angry person in front of you, because he will attack the child part. And don't go with your punitive parent part to punish others. Protect others from the punitive inherited parent part, and protect your child part from angry or punishing others. And by analyzing this for yourself, you will work on yourself to be most of the times in the adult mood. If I say I would, actually from my counseling, I give that exercise, and that person will write in a journal, I found myself in the morning at such an hour talking to my spouse, I said such and such, this was a child tone. This was the child in me talking. I was whining, I was complaining, I caught myself when I was dealing with my children in the adult punitive. This was in such a day, such an hour. The behavior I didn't like of myself, I started to analyze. I found it stemming from the parent or from the child part. The way I express myself most of the time is the child part. And I read the examples. So your counselor or a special advisor, yourself, after you write it, you will start to think of it. Did you get it?
Yeah. Assertiveness. Three styles of communication. One, passive style. Two, aggressive style. Three, assertive style. Assertive listening. One, prepare. Two, listen. Three, acknowledge. Assertive expression. One, your perspective of the situation. Two, your feelings about the situation. Three, your wants regarding the situation.
You know what's assertiveness? You know what is assertiveness? Assertiveness is to say what you want to say in the appropriate time without being rude. If you step on my foot, I will tell you, sir, it hurts. Would you please take off your foot? I am polite. But if I leave you stepping on my foot and say to myself, because I'm shy, one day he will get tired and take off his foot. Of course, it's a metaphor for actions and behaviors in life. Okay. He will take advantage of you, or you will regret why I didn't say that it hurts. Why I didn't say by the behavior of my spouse in the appropriate time it hurted me the most? Because I am passive. This is passive style. Assertive style, I could say what is reasonable to be said in the appropriate time without being rude. Remember the policeman, traffic police, when he's coming to tell you, ma'am, will lean forward and would you please show me the registration and the insurance. So polite, but assertive, and you can't open your mouth. You know that you were speeding. And you start to discuss, ma'am, you were speeding such, because his radar said exactly. So, and he would tell you, okay, you have the ticket. But you could go and appeal. He will never raise his voice. Very assertively, you do it with your children. After you tell them, explain to them the consequences of what they are doing, the rule. Set rules with consequences. And if they did it, you tell them, you know, the consequence. What is the consequence? What you have done, you say we did such and such. You teach them the rule. And what is the consequence? Then they are expecting now the consequence. If you don't consistently apply the consequence will be not respected, disrespected. Just imagine, you always go through red lights. You always go through red lights. Yes, it is known that there is a law, but there is no policeman. You will disrespect all kinds of traffic lights. It will be a catastrophe, disaster in the streets. But because of the presence of those who implement the law in the appropriate time and assertively, traffic is going. You understand now? About communication between you and your children or your spouses. So passive, assertive. Some of you are familiar with the aggressive way. Aggressive way, the opposite of passive. You always jump into the one in front of you to frighten him. Before we start, go attacking. So passive, you are so shy. Aggressive, you are attacking. But assertive, you are saying what's supposed to be said appropriately without being rude.
Assertive response to criticism. 1. Acknowledgement. 2. Clouding. 3. Probing. Communication and conflicts. Fair fighting.
This is something else now. Do you understand now assertive, passive and aggressive? For Egyptian, mostly they were raised either aggressive or passive. Quite few are assertive. In the developing countries, they don't teach assertiveness. You could learn about assertiveness, say what is in your mind or your heart in an appropriate way, politely, without being rude, but say it. Not in a dominant, demeaning way, but politely and ethically. You'll find the cashier always smiling and tell you this is wrong. Or tell you whatever you want to say. And if you want to know your style of communication, remember when you want to return one of the merchandise. When you are going to the counter for return, what's your attitude? Hesitant? Fearing? Shy? Telling somebody else to do it for you? Or you go and have a fight with the one who is not responsible about you buying the merchandise, but you are in a fighting mood, aggressive mood. Assertive mood, you are not shy and you are not fighting. And you are using your rights in an ethical way. Now, getting now into something else. How to have a fair fight. I don't like the way fair fighting. I want you to name it something else. Communication during the conflict. How to communicate during a conflict with someone important to you, like a spouse. how to communicate in an unfair way, which lead to a fight and escalation, which means we'll read now characters of it. I feel about myself only and my needs and what I want. I don't feel for the other person at all. But in fair fighting or in godly communication, you'll find its character whenever you read it. So this is communication if you have a conflict between you and spouse of what to do. Yes.
Unfair fighting. 1, conflict is awful. 2, my needs are more valid than yours. 3, only one can win.
See the mentality? My needs are more than your needs. Conflicts are awful. No, conflicts are something which is good for more communication and understanding. My needs are more than your needs. More important? Of course not. Mutual value for the needs. One only have to win, and of course who? I have to win. This is the attitude which will lead to a fight. My needs, I have to win. The situation is awful. Of course, I mean, you are set for a fight.
Unfair fighting styles. 1, bad timing. 2, blaming. 3, too many issues.
At a time. Yes.
4, covering other feelings with anger. 5, impossible demands. 6, threats and ultimatums.
Ultimatums, yes.
7, escalation. Fair fighting.
No.
Sorry.
Do you have any of these? All of these? Please. Be honest. Do you have any of these or all of these? Don't tell me none. No one without any of these. Because all of us could use any negative method like this. Read it carefully and be away from it. Try to avoid it as much as you can. And if you discover that you are using it, please write it in your journal and judge yourself for it if you want to improve your communication. Regarding the facial expression and body language, if they are negative, write it. And train yourself in front of a mirror with the help of your spouse later. Because your spouse will tell you whether you have improved or not. Please wear a godly, charming smile. Look for the icon of Jesus Christ hugging the kids. Or the look of the Lord Jesus Christ with His face just looking at you, opening His arms. This is an accepting mood. And compare that to your attitude with the body language and your facial expression. Regarding assertiveness, when Jesus was very assertive, No. Because this could be misunderstood as aggressiveness. It is not. It was assertive. But I'm saying that example in particular could be understood as aggressiveness. Although He didn't touch physically any of the animals. He didn't touch physically any of the animals. During His trial, when somebody slapped Him, He asked us, why? Why did you slap me? He asked that. Any example for assertiveness of St. Paul is very assertive. Any example of assertiveness or assertion of St. Paul? with the sincerity, no? Yes, yes. He said he's right. That he said, I am a Roman citizen. And he wondered because there are certain rights for the Roman. Okay, so I'm giving you St. Paul and Jesus as examples of assertiveness. Please go and look in the internet or any book in the public library or CDs or tapes about assertiveness training. Everybody, you have to be assertive with your superiors at work, with your spouse, with your children, with your dad and mom, with someone who's in authority. Have to be assertive, not passive, not aggressive. It needs training. Give you exercise and you train yourself on it. Yes. Fair fighting?
Fair fighting.
Yes.
One, conflict is...
This will be the end of the presentation now. Yes.
One, conflict is inevitable. Two, our needs are equally valid. Three, we both can win.
Yes. Continue.
Transactional analysis.
No, you said it before.
Oh, fair fight rules.
Yes. Now, look for these fair fight rules. Unfortunately, he is describing only one person what he should do. The other person will do the same after someone will finish what he wants to present. By this way, the other will take his turn. And issue number 10 is after the other will present, then the two will reach to something.
One, set a time and place. Two, pray. Three, Christ in the setting.
Okay. Now, if something is really important, need to be discussed, you have to set an appropriate time and appropriate place in which you will be in control of yourself and the environment helps you to go into that important communication. Say you want to sell your house. You want to move to another town. Your kids, Christian schools or public schools. Discussing the budget, whatever. Something really important. Give your time 2 or 3 days to think and pray about it. Get information and data. Pray about it. When you are going to the real session, be sure. Where is Jesus Christ? Where is he seated now? Either to put a cross, an icon, or an empty seat for Jesus Christ. Sit with your spouse close to one another, not a partition between both of you in the discussion. And be sure where Jesus is seating, because he is sharing in the discussion. And from now, I'm telling you that technique. Any conflict is outside the person of you and your spouse. Which means, any conflict must not affect negatively the marital relationship. Communication about that conflict must not affect negatively the marital relationship. That's why you are sitting close, to indicate that we are closer to one another, and on the table in front of us we are discussing something, a conflict. We're discussing a topic, an issue, like an object. If you feel during the communication at any moment that it's going to affect the better relationship, better to stop. And don't say anything which will hurt on the long run the relationship, because the relationship is much more important than resolving the issue. if the issue stay unresolved, better than to divorce your spouse. So, put goals you want to get out, not winning or win-win, to get with the marital relationship at least the same level or much more intimate through the communication. Be close, and during, if both of you accept touches, the spouses, you could touch the hand, assuring that you understand and we are for one another. Whether this will be resolved or not, it is not important. But if you are going with the attitude, it has to be resolved now on the expense even of whatever, this is a wrong attitude. And in front of Jesus Christ, you can't shout, you can't scream, you can't label, you can't attack, you can't compare, you don't call names, you don't mention the name of the mother or the relatives. Don't do that. Don't drag on the past. Because what is the reason you're sitting here? Just to communicate about that particular issue. So be really focused. So now, you prayed, and Jesus is with you. What's number four?
State the problem.
Define. One will take the role now. He has the object in his hand. Now, I will define, I will state why you are here. In my own words, state or define the issue, the problem. Yes.
Stick to one issue.
If you have more than one issue, finish one by one. Don't discuss two at the same time.
Express the full range of feelings.
Which feeling? My feeling or your feeling? The one who is speaking. I feel such and such. This is your turn. When the other person's turn will come, he will do the same. But this is your turn to explain your feelings. Yes.
Yes. Propose change.
Okay. You now define the problem, and you said your full range of feeling, and you gave to the other party all the data, all the information which you have gathered about the school, the company, the job, the city, the house. You're good. Get the information and the data. That's why you are 2 or 3 days trying. And then propose a resolution. What do you think? And give 2 or 3 options, not only one. And then say your preference for one of those. I mentioned in the financial, I said, what is the best, what is the worst, what I could live with. You could mention, according to that, many options. And if you are problem solver approach, the problem solving, you give the information, you analyze it, and give options for resolution. And which one of them you see is the most appropriate. Then?
Describe consequences.
You describe consequences of each option. If we go that route, what will happen? If we go to that option, what will happen? Later. We do that. If someone will come, I don't impose on them any resolution. But I tell them, okay, if you want separation, these are the consequences. Divorce, this is the consequence. You stay with your spouse, this is the consequence. If you want a fight, this is the consequence. If you want to call 911, this is the consequence. If you want to go the civil way, I would tell everything. And then he or she chooses, because I said the consequences of the options. Do the same. The best is to take the position of a counselor or a therapist. I mean, with the skills of a therapist or a counselor. Each one of you will be a therapist at one time for the other. other spouse. Each one needs the other to be a therapist for him or her at certain times, and vice versa. Yes.
Prevent escalation.
Have to prevent escalation. If he or she will say something negative, please don't jump and say something negative when your turn will come. Prevent escalation by avoiding all those negatives which I have mentioned before within the couples. Blaming, criticism, all this list, don't do it. And also, if you want escalation, try to close your mouth if your spouse will say something wrong. Wrong, I mean negative about you. It's better not to talk and pray that Jesus who is here, you don't want to deal in a wrong way in his presence. If he, by a mistake, or she by a mistake did something wrong, don't escalate by saying also something negative. Say, he will say, your mother said such and such. They will say, no, my mother did not say, no, I am sure. Escalation. Especially mentioning names of relatives. Especially mothers or mother-in-law or brother and sisters. Escalate the situation. Yes.
End in agreement, counter-proposal, or postponement.
So, before that item, you would give a chance to the other party to do the same, to define and state the problem, to describe a full range of feeling, the data, the information, analyze the information, propose options for resolution, consequences for these. So you have two sets now. Gather the information together. Set, I have two or three options, and she has two or three. Maybe one or two are similar, then we have now four options. What are the consequences for the options? We write it. And we discuss what's the best for us. If we reach an agreement, fine. If we can't reach an agreement, we could give another time, postpone it for two or three days, we pray about it, get more information, and we return. But no one is allowed to say, I am here the one who has to decide, and it has to be decided now. I'm saying in important issues. Because we must refer to a refuge. We must refer to a refuge. And most probably the father of confession. Both of us accept him as a refuge, and we are both accountable to what he's going to say to us. Accountable to the word of God, accountable to God, accountable to him as someone explaining to us the word of God. And both of you are going to him means whatever he's going to say, this is the end of it. You have two options. Abuna will pray with you and hear from both of you and discuss. And he will give what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say by his knowledge and life experience by Jesus Christ? He is going to say what Jesus say if he is in that situation. In other words, Jesus is sitting close by Abuna and both of you. Because he knows Jesus very well more than me and you. He knows what he's going to say, what he could say, or what is supposed to do. And he will tell you, I'm sure Jesus will say such and such and such, and give you the verses and the resolution of the matter. Maybe Abuna will say, no, I don't feel now I can do it. I want to pray for a week. I put the matter on the altar. And every day I will mention that in the liturgy. Fine, let us come after 1 week and see what the altar is going to say. So many were resolved by what the author has said. المسبح بيتكلم. المسبح بيتكلم يا حبايبي. I believe in that so much. If you put that on the altar will speak after a week. To your hearts, God will speak to your hearts, and Abuna will say that. God bless you. Any questions?